Hello and welcome to the podcast, The Low Seeders, for the 11th of November, 2021. I'm joined by Leo.
Hello!
And today we're talking about the Rittenhouse trial and the leftist parallel universe that exists around that. BBC abandoning Stonewall because, well, it's crap. And it should have been done a long time ago.
It's a protection racket.
Yes, that's the right way to describe it. And also the Israeli ambassador who had to flee a British university because of protests and the threats against them. Which, yeah, we're going to be talking about the Jews. That's the conversation of that because, well, we have to involve the Labour Party and they've got some opinions.
Yeah.
Of course they do. Rightio. So anyway, some of the stuff to mention first here. I just noticed as well, it's actually Remembrance Day as well. Anyway. So in Poland, they have like the Independence Day rally there. It's
where's your poppy?
Well, I've got a Polish armband somewhere.
Are you too left-wing to wear a poppy?
No, I just forgot. So anyway, so some of the stuff first mentioned on the website.
That goes directly against the whole ethos of Remembrance.
Yes.
You've forgotten Remembrance.
Literally.
Right.
Anyway, so some stuff mentioned first on the website. So the first thing here being a premium video. So this, I believe, I assume was done by Carl. So it's about the January 6th insurrectionist rioters. Mass murderers, God knows what we're meant to be calling them. Anyway, and the fact that they had their rights violated, but the fact that they are under ridiculous restrictions and, well, no one wants to talk about it, which is weird.
And wasn't one of them sort of coerced into becoming a Democrat? He said, I'll be a Democrat! You know,
seriously?
Yeah, that's what somebody told me last night.
But anyway, so go and check that out, because I'm sure it's good fun. If we carry on, we have another thing here. I think this is a premium article on the struggles of COP26 by Hugo. This one comes with an audio track as well for silver and gold tiers to listen because reading is a pain. And yes, so go and check that out. Also, didn't you go up to COP recently? I think you'd like.
Yeah, I went up to COP26 last week. I made a video about it, about the SNP's environmental failings and also the hypocrisy of COP26. So that video's done well. But it was on like 25,000 views or something, which is good for me. Maybe not good for Lotus Eaters, but it's good for me.
But go and check
and,
that, I guess.
And yeah, like it's just ridiculous. And Humza Yousaf actually ran for election against him, and he took time out of his busy day, being the world's worst justice minister, to tweet. When he won, he tweeted, he's like, oh, Leo only got this number of votes.
Was that the election where the Love Police turned up to the count?
Yeah,
don't know if you remember that, those guys.
Yeah,
we played up their video that they turned up and started giving love salutes. It was just like, what the?
Yeah, okay. That's right. Oh man, yeah, never a good look when you do
a whole other story
salutes.
Though. But anyway, well, they were making fun of Humza Yousaf's new world order he wants, which yeah.
But if you're gonna make fun of somebody, you got to make sure that anything you do can't be taken out of context and make you look like Hitler.
Sure, that's one way of doing it. So the last thing to mention here is the Legacy Media's War on Dads. So I believe this is from the Glass Blind Spot, as most people know him, or his name, Brian Drury there, who I'm probably butchering, but sorry. So go and check that out. Anyway, so let's move on. So let's get into the Carl Rittenhouse parallel universe. So the Carl Rittenhouse trial has been going ahead, and it's become blisteringly obvious that he didn't do nothing. Like, literally, the guy...
Well, I saw him do a couple of things.
Yeah, I mean, well, he did...
But, I mean, when I saw him do those things, I was like, wow, those are, you know, that's... I mean,
legal somebody... activities.
Yeah, somebody went to hit him with a skateboard. It's always a bad idea to try and hit somebody with a skateboard when they've got, like, an AR-15.
Yeah.
And the other guy, was an angry paedophile.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I think society's got enough angry paedophiles. I think we can lose a few of them.
Well, we did. And, Carl Rittenhouse did nothing wrong, seems to be the evidence of the trial. God knows how the jury will verdict on this.
Yeah.
You know, I did see, what was it, George Floyd's cousin, of all people, put out a video saying that he knew some people who had been videotaping the jurors. And then in the court case, the judge did mention that someone was videotaping the jurors at one point.
Right.
And they had to make him delete the footage and all that. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah, anyway.
And one of the jurors had to be dismissed from the trial for a joke. Yeah.
No, he made a joke about Jacob Blake's situation and the similarities to that to Carl Rittenhouse. I don't know if you remember Jacob Blake's thing.
No.
He was a guy, he was called, side note here, I mean, not really to do with this case, but he had a knife and then the police ended up shooting him because of that. But anyway, to get back to the case. So, I mean, we've gone through a lot. Harry's the one who's been paying most attention to the trial and covering the stuff very well. And it's kind of a joke at this point, but it got even more ridiculous. So Kyle decided to go on the stand and waive his Fifth Amendment rights and be questioned by the prosecution. And the prosecution firstly decided to try and claim that he did this because he plays Call of Duty.
Oh, and he came back with an amazing response.
So let's play this and enjoy this clip.
In video games that resemble all guns.
Isn't it true when you would hang out with Dominic Black, you'd play Call of Duty and other first-person shooter video games?
Sometimes.
And those are games in which you use weapons like AR-15s to pretty much shoot anybody who comes at you, correct?
It's a video game where two players are playing together. I don't really understand the meaning of your question, to be honest.
Isn't one of the things people do in these video games try and kill everyone else with your guns?
Yeah, in the video game, it's just a video game, it's not real life.
I mean, I can't believe they actually tried that. I mean,
yeah.
You got Hillary Clinton over there being like, so video games are causing all the mass shootings.
Yeah, haven't we been through this all already? You know what I mean?
But, you
and yeah, it's ridiculous. We've, like, the sort of theological Puritans in each generation try and blame pop music or heavy metal or video nasties, like scary movies. Or video games for like, society's ills.
It's very much sort of like, not even Gamergate, earlier than Gamergate, it's, you know, the Hillary Clinton era being like, you know, violent video games are doing this. And it's like, oh, God. Okay, yeah. Right. I mean, that's the bottom of the barrel. That's what they're scraping to.
Yeah.
But we'll continue from this because there's some other stuff that was funny. So if we go to the next one, we have him being questioned about the fact that he decided to run away from a fire. Kyle Rittenhouse says, yes. Prosecution says, why was that so urgent? Rittenhouse responded with, it was a fire. Prosecution responded, there's fires all over the place, so...
I was like, oh my God!
Again, I mean, nice condemnation of the BLM riots there, which, I mean, deserved, considering all the fires, but the idea that you shouldn't run away from a fire because,
there's lots of fires. You know, I mean, yeah.
Literally the this is fine meme.
It's great to see a trial being scripted by South Park.
Yes. Anyway, so if we carry on, there's also some funny stuff that came out of this, so you can see that the judge, for example, at one point was just looking through a magazine of how to bake cookies because he's just bored. Of this crap. It's like, all right, fair enough. Can't really blame him.
Because the judge hasn't really bowed to the sort of partisan political pressure from the left to
politicize the trial.
Yeah.
He's just doing the trial as the law indicates, and then when he's bored, looking at cookies.
He's being a good judge.
Yeah. So if we carry on from this, there's also some other stuff that I think should not be forgotten, as Jack Posobiec points out on Getter, that Joe Biden, remember, he campaigned on the idea that Rittenhouse is a bad man who's done bad things. If you scroll down on this, just so we can see. So there's no way to put it. The President of the United States refused to disavow white supremacists on the debate stage last night with a picture of Kyle Rittenhouse with a gun because, you know, he's defending himself there for a white supremacist.
So he's basically, he's calling Kyle Rittenhouse a white supremacist.
Yes. So this was back in the campaign and should not be forgotten. But anyway, let's also carry on. So there's some other, the response from the leftists, which is, it's like they're living in a parallel universe.
Yeah.
Like they honestly think that this is going well for them or something. So this is the first one here in which they're starting to see that, well, this is all going to go crumbling down, isn't it? So a bunch of articles have come out basically trying to go after the judge and saying that the judge is a bad man who's trying to get Kyle off or something.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's just bollocks.
Well, the judge looks like he's white. He's middle-aged.
He's male.
He's male. He's very heteronormative.
We've got him, boys.
Patriarchal.
Anyway. So then there's all the other responses, which we're going to get into now. So if we get to this one, this is the first one here. Verified checkmark. Kyle Rittenhouse shot and killed 3 people. Think about how much their loved ones have cried. Real anguish and grief. Not crocodile tears with a picture of Kyle crying on the stand because he broke down crying at one point. And it's like, really? Think of the poor victims of Kyle Rittenhouse. What, people who tried to kill him? The people who were threatening his life. Not to mention, one of them a pedo. So if we go to the next one, I mean, Ann Coulter makes that point. It's like, do their loved ones include the 5 little kids Rosenbaum anally raped? I mean, that's, remember, you know, that's what we're dealing with. The people he shot were not good people.
Yeah.
Very bad people. But then they went to
grind. I mean, the pedo's definitely a bad guy.
Yeah, but they also tried to attack him and therefore they got shot. Which, I mean, that's the law. That's how that works. You have the right to self-defense. And I can't get over the like weird simping for these people who were shot.
Yeah.
Like, they did nothing wrong. They're the angels in this situation.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it does sort of dovetail in with the left's sort of current sort of normalization and blurring of the boundaries with pedophilia. You know, with cuties and, you know, we've seen it in so many things.
The left of pedos.
what's it called? Sex Unzipped on Netflix. That sort of comedy sex. They did a sex show with, talking about sex, but with puppets. So children are watching it because it's got puppets in it and they think it's a kids show.
Yeah. I did not want to hear that anyway, so let's carry on. So let's go to some of the other stuff, leftist responses. So this is one here. So this is an account on Facebook with 6.5 million followers, the other 98%, as they call themselves. They say in here, in response to what's happened in the trial, I mean, everyone's seen the whole thing, it's live streamed. The judge in the Kyle Rittenhouse case is determined to have Rittenhouse acquitted for murdering 2 innocent people. Just 2 innocent people. Just people who were just hanging about, just smoking or something. "There will be nothing left than a signal to every white supremacist in the United States, there are millions, that they have a license to kill anyone they want without consequences." I mean,
there's been no consequence for Kyle Rittenhouse.
He went to trial, yeah, and we played the footage, and they were attacking him, so he shot them. I mean, they threatened his life. I mean, yeah, one of the guys at MIRD, he pulled the gun and pointed it at Kyle, and then Kyle shot him.
I mean, I think if you're coming from a position where you think there are millions of white supremacists in the United States,
well,
you're automatically coming from it. It's this assumption of bad faith in humanity.
If you want to defend your private property or your life, you're a white supremacist. Yeah. Because you're white.
Yeah. Right.
So they continue in here with just like ranting nonsense. They say, however, we need to be honest about Rittenhouse's pathetic acting skills. Here he is giving testimony, quote, crying for the first time and pretending that he is so distraught that he can barely breathe. But give a closer look. Rittenhouse isn't distraught. He's actually checking on whether the jury is buying it. Maybe this performance gets him off scot-free with the pre-selected nearly all-white jury and the kangaroo court. Jesus Christ.
This reminds me of when conspiracy theorists say that there are, what do they call them, the crisis actors.
Yeah, they're literally calling him a crisis actor.
Yeah.
For the cry. Which, I mean, it is a court case. These things do take place. I'm not going to, I mean, you know, there's always a suspicion, but, well, all of the footage shows that he's been truthful,
yeah,
and acted well in all of this. Therefore, well, his actions here, there's no reason to doubt him, but whatever. It is a court case. But they say there's a kangaroo court judge serving as a defense attorney. Yeah, again, just the judge is to blame for us not having any truth on our side. But this isn't an Oscar performance. It's a pathetic effort to portray this cold-blooded racist killer as an innocent victim.
And what ethnicity were the people that he shot?
White.
Yeah, so why is that racist?
Because they're fighting for black nationalism, therefore.
They're the white knight swooping in.
Yes, literal white knighting
to save black people by burning down black-owned businesses.
So anti-racist of you. Anyway, so let's go to the next one here. So we have Occupy Democrats, who are also just insane. So you can see this one here. Why is she not behind bars? And then some spiel about how Kyle Rittenhouse's mother is to blame because she drove him. Therefore. She's guilty of murder?
She put her child in a vehicle and drove him across state lines. I mean, a whole 30 minutes away.
Did you hear that? Across state lines!
Yeah, across an imaginary line in the ground that, you know, I thought the left were always like, borders shouldn't exist. But yeah, minor child in a vehicle and drove him across state. I love how they're saying this as if, like, no mother has ever driven their child anywhere.
No, also that's a crime. And also, he went across state lines, don't you know? State lines, damn it. And it's like, Jesus Christ. Anna Kasparian tearing up. Anyway, so if we carry on, there's just some other stuff I wanted to mention.
I mean, she does sound like a pretty cool... I mean, my mum wouldn't let me go to a riot with an AR-15. You know, I can see that right now.
Pretty based. So I just wanted to mention some of the other Occupy Democrat stuff, because I'm a bit obsessed with them, because I've mentioned before, like, every post is just like, yeah, evil. Retweet if you agree with the evil. So this one is, Singapore announces they will no longer cover the medical costs of unvaccinated by choice, who make up the vast majority of new COVID cases, hospitalizations, and deaths in the city. Retweet if you support Singapore's decision. Also, universal healthcare. I was like,
yeah, what's universal about that?
The universal healthcare people, except, I don't know, if you're smoking, there you don't get universal healthcare. If you're taking drugs, nah.
Yeah, yeah.
If you caused a car crash, no healthcare for you.
Well, apparently,
die, buddy.
Apparently in Japan, I read that in Japan they weigh people to see if they're eligible for the free healthcare.
You're too fat.
Which I think is a great idea. I had somebody, because the Scottish government posted saying, oh, make sure you isolate, you don't work if you test positive. And I isolated when I tested positive and I couldn't work. And then I applied for their £500 like support grant or whatever, and I didn't get it because I don't claim benefits because I'm not like, I don't want to be dependent on the state. And, you know, I think that's ridiculous. So I posted underneath saying, like, well, look, don't, like, if you need to work, work. You know what I mean? The government's not going to pay you. And somebody posted underneath being like, oh, you selfish prick, you're killing people. Nah, nah, nah. But she was fat. So I said, well, if you're that worried about COVID, why don't you lose weight? We've known for 18 months that being a fat fuck is a risk factor for COVID.
I just love the idea of just like, someone has an opinion, but she was fat. So
yeah,
like,
yeah. I mean,
disregard it.
Being fat already makes me disregard your opinion, whatever your opinion is, whether it's the best take. That album, I don't care what it is. But if it's something to do with COVID, I mean, COVID, the major risk factor in COVID.
Lower than low.
Is being obese.
Value.
So you can't point your finger at me when you're sitting there eating donuts. Mm.
But anyway, so this is Occupy Democrats being evil again and saying support evil if you can. There's one other that I had to mention as well, and I know these don't really have anything to do with this case, but I just can't get over it. So if we go to the next one here, we can get the other tweet from them. Federal agents raid two offices of far-right provocateur James O'Keefe's Project Veritas. Sorry, they say Peritas because they need to bock it. As part of a new investigation into the theft and publication of President Biden's daughter, Ashley's diary, just days before the 2020 election, retweet if you support this investigation. I mean, again, just raid journalists' offices. Why? Because they said a thing we don't like. Retweet if you support, guys. It's just literal evil.
And is he a far-right provocateur? Whenever somebody says something like far-right provocateur, I automatically assume that they're not a far-right provocateur.
No, he's just a journalist.
Yeah.
And, well, he embarrasses the left and therefore bad. But anyway, I thought this is all quite funny, though, because when you think about it, the left should really be applauding Carl Rittenhouse for his efforts to defund the police and set up community policing within their neighborhoods. So if we go on from this.
He killed white people.
Yeah, so he killed white people. So why don't they love it? I don't know. Anyway, so as he mentions, Harry wrote this stuff, and it's great for this segment, which is just mentioning that the defund the police movement, BLM, all arguing that, well, their argument is they want an end to policing because of the damage it does to black bodies, and it has problems on a racial level for black communities, and therefore we need community policing. And the community policing is Carl Rittenhouse. Literally. So we carry on from this. We go to the reformist charter, which is funny as well. If you scroll down, there's a graph that should be in here of like all their arguments. And they're like, yeah, if we give money to the police to reform it, it'll just cause the training organizations to get more money or something. Whereas if we abolish the police, we'll get community policing of our own neighborhoods by local people who have come out to defend the property. And it's like, yes, that'll be Kyle then, won't it? That'll be literally Kyle doing his duty for the BLM movement. Anyway, so we move on from this. There's also the Defunding the Police organization, who they say in here, defunding the police means divesting from institutions that kill, harm, cage, or control our communities. Again, just like, what are you living in, the 1500s? And investing in housing, healthcare, income support, employment, and community-based safe strategies that produce genuine and sustainable safety for all, such as Carl Rittenhouse and his rifle. As the local man, the local lawman.
I mean, having worked in policing, having worked in criminal intelligence and the criminal justice system, you can't fix crime just by...
With 10 Carl Rittenhouses. Put one in every city.
Well, to be honest, you probably could. You probably could with Carl Rittenhouses, but you definitely can't with, like, you know, improving healthcare. That is not going to stop crime.
That's not going to stop the pedo being a pedo.
Yeah.
A bullet will. Anyway, so if we carry on, so we're just going to go through a bunch of the leftist responses again with the parallel universe here. So if we go to the last one here, we just have this guy. He's like, end mass incarceration, defunding the prison industrial complex. Except when it's Carl Rittenhouse. Look up Carl Rittenhouse and throw away the key.
Amazing.
Yeah, every time. Amazing. I mean, another page schmuck, I'm sure he's enjoying his 60 grand, like the Brooklyn Dads guy. If we carry on from this, then we got another one here. So we just keep going through these. So this is just a whole bunch of people who are responding by saying that he's, you know, fake crying. And there's this one here where they're joking about him being raped in prison. So that's the same face Carl Rittenhouse will make during his first time in the prison showers, from a verified checkmark there. It's like, yeah, okay, you people really have no decency, do you, whatsoever? Yeah. I mean, like, this kid's been through hell. And you can see them carry on. There's a bunch of other rape jokes, which, yeah, that's the left for you. I mean, this kid literally did nothing wrong.
Yeah.
You can see the evidence. Everyone's seen the trial. Nah, literally.
He shot some people.
Yes, in self-defense. And the people were threatening his life.
It's not prejudice, the trial.
We're not part of the trial. We can do what we want. But honestly, part of the reason I didn't find it that interesting, because the Floyd trial, we did a whole thing on it and I covered it intently because there was like mystery around it. And, you know, there were arguments for both sides and the finding of the drugs in the cop car that he'd taken, even though it was high as hell before. So arguments about him being overdosed and whatnot. And there was like, oh, maybe, you know, maybe this, maybe that. And with this one, I find it boring because it's so clear cut. It was like, so they threatened his life with a gun and he shot them. And it's like,
although, I mean, walking into a dangerous situation with a gun, that, you know, you're putting yourself in a position where there's, you know, things are likely to happen.
Yeah.
And also there's testimony. I mean, testimony, it's mostly in his favor, but somebody testified, another sort of vigilante or community policeman or whatever you want to call
community
them.
Policing.
Community policeman.
It's what BLM would call it.
Testified that, so he had an interaction with the pedo guy, the first guy who got shot earlier. And so they've got a show shove, whatever it is, you know, the escalation, shout, then shoot, or whatever. It's not in that order, but shoot's always last. And he said, you know, the pedo guy was kind of agitated and stuff, and but was easily dealt with and contained. Whereas Kyle Rittenhouse, I mean, the guy's 15. So he's not going to know how to. This guy's an ex-Marine. So the Kyle Rittenhouse, I don't know. I just don't think a 15-year-old should be going in. Call me crazy. I don't think a 15-year-old should be going into a situation like that with an AR-15. I mean, I don't even think, you know, adults should be going into situations like that
maybe,
with an
AR-15. Maybe, but that's not what he's in trial for. He's on trial for the shooting.
Yeah. I mean, the actual specific incidents, you know, I've watched the footage and it does look like self-defense.
Yeah, if it was you, you would shoot and you'd be right in shooting.
Yeah,
because you're under attack and the guy's pulling a pistol on you.
Yeah, Although the first one, we're not entirely clearings. There's not adequate footage of it. But
I think they released the HD footage recently, but that's not good. Let's not rehash the whole trial again.
They've got heat map, infrared footage and stuff as well. It's
put it in inverted. It's anyway, so let's carry on with some of the leftist responses to this. We have another one here. LeBron James, verified checkmark, of course, and he decided to go with, "What tears? I didn't see one. Man, knock it off. That boy ate some lemon heads before walking into the court," to the footage of him crying. And again, just no care whatsoever. This guy is just basically lying. It's like, you mean like the video footage or the witness statements or all the rest of it, but whatever. Okay. Yeah. So if we carry on from this, there's more because there's loads of these. So you have this one. Kyle Rittenhouse had his mummy drive him across state lines. State lines, damn it. God. And they bring it up every time, and it's just like, it's such a red herring. Who cares?
That's like me saying, "Oh, you went from Dorset to Cornwall," you know?
B word, anyway. So he was defending.
"You went from Berkshire to Hertfordshire."
Yeah, he went there to hunt humans. No, he went there to defend property and clean up graffiti, which he did. He was defending nothing and no one except.
Well, he was going to clean graffiti with an AR-15.
No, he actually, the footage is out there of him, like cleaning up the.
What, just like. "Take that, Banksy."
No, he got a sponge, like an author.
Right.
Instead of trying to shoot it off. But I mean, shooting off would work as well. His victims were exactly that, victims, not arsonists or looters, victims of a racist, anti-Semitic, inhuman mass murderer.
Oh, mass murderer. I mean, come on.
Where did the Jews come into this? Yeah. Anti-Semitic now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Were they Jewish?
I don't bloody know. What did it matter? Like, if a Jew tries to kill you, you still have the right to shoot him in the same way that if he was a Muslim or an atheist.
Yeah.
Whatever. Just anti-Semitic. Bizarre. We got another one here, so you can see them trying to make fun of him crying again. It's just like, that's not helping your case at all, but whatever. We have
another that's weird. Quite funny.
The judge is like, "Kyle Rittenhouse is like the racist son I never had."
Yeah.
Again. Like, the judge not politicizing the trial and that going badly for you is your problem. I mean, the same thing. I had massive, the sympathy for the guy in the Floyd case, the judge there. He seemed to do his best to try and keep politics completely out of it.
Yeah.
Like, there are some questions where you could question him, and I'm sure there's some questions where you can question any judge.
Yeah.
But no, they're doing their job.
And also, they've got to be scrupulously just non-partisan, because otherwise it opens the gateway to appeals.
Yes. So if we carry on, we have more of this as well. So again, we have the lady here. So I think I put this one in twice. So we'll skip this one.
Yeah.
Go to the next one. So we have Hotep Jesus. If Rittenhouse shot a white guy who said the N-word, but Rittenhouse is the white supremacist, does this mean you all are giving our N-word passes to allies now?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, true. Most people have seen the footage. Can't repeat it here. But one of the guys he shot was shouting, "Shoot me, N-word. Shoot me, N-word."
Mm.
He got shot. After round them found out. Anyway, so let's carry on. Yeah. So you got another one here.
And that's who the left are holding up on a pedestal and saying, so a paedophile who shouts the N-word.
And the left are like, that's my... Anyway, so Stephen Crowder making the point. If you accuse Rittenhouse of faking tears from being forced to relive the trauma of having to shoot violent armed child rapists and arsonists, but claim PTSD from being called the wrong pronouns, you may be an a-hole. True. I can't remember which MP it was now, but I think it was Nadia Whittam or something, went off with PTSD after being an MP for like 6 months.
Right.
It was like, I've got PTSD, I need to leave.
So right.
Why? I get emails that are very upsetting. Right. Anyway, so we have another point being made here. So that the advocate of criminal justice reform are among the loudest voices demanding Rittenhouse's lynching is a good reminder that CJR isn't about justice, it's about helping friends, law-breaking, and punishing enemies, the law-abiding, along the lines of anarcho-tyranny.
Hmm.
True. This is how I view the people who engaged in, well, anarchy, and then tried to cry wolf when they got what was coming to them. So if we carry on, we have some other points here which I thought were interesting. So this one's funny. I am highly educated and reasonably perceptive, and it was only today that I learned that Kyle Rittenhouse's victims were white.
Mm.
My progressive bubble made it seem like a very different case than it is.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, the victims are white, therefore, what?
Yeah. I mean,
of all the concerns. Yeah. I mean,
but it does reframe it if you've because I mean, obviously the majority of the people causing all, you know, committing the arson and the violence and the BLM rallies were white.
Mm. Anyway, so we'll end this up, so we're running out of time. So if we get the next one up here, we just have I've forgotten her name, Kasparian, Anna Kasparian, admitting that she was wrong. So I don't know if you're familiar with Anna Kasparian, but she spent the like last months covering the Rittenhouse thing. And every minute of every day, she's like, state lines, he crossed the state lines now.
Right, yeah.
And finally admitting that, no, the video footage shows that he was in the right. And then the last one here being the funniest, I think, which is Tucker Carlson. Let's just snap back to reality here from the leftist parallel universe. Tucker Carlson decided to go with.
Oh, man.
Mr. Roman Ball died as he lived, trying to touch an unwilling minor.
That's amazing. That's a brilliant line.
Yes. I don't have anything else to say. Let's just end on that.
Yeah.
Let's move on.
That's amazing. So now we're moving on to Stonewall. So the BBC has pulled out of the Stonewall Diversity Champion Scheme.
Finally.
For a bit of context, in case you don't know what Stonewall is, it was founded in 1989 in response to a ban on promotion of homosexuality in schools. So the Section 28 Act, which is very controversial. And so I think Ian McKellen, Matthew Paris, and some other people got together to create Stonewall to the pretty noble intentions to stop the, to have equal rights for LGBTQ people and end the sort of persecution and prejudice against them. And Stonewall was actually a bit behind the curve on trans rights. So if we move on to the next one. So the legal right to change gender in the UK came about in 2004, but it wasn't until a decade later, 2015, so more than a decade, that Stonewall got on board with transgender rights and started campaigning for transgender rights. And more recently, the transgender rights, there's been a bit of a, when I say a bit of a battle, there's been an almighty battle in the LGBTQ community between, the trans rights activists on one side and, gays and lesbians who feel that they're being erased in some way on the other side. So at the moment, under woke trans right activists etiquette or law or whatever,
it's like the Dane law, the trans law.
I mean, these are shifting sands, and it changes week by week. But it's really heavily on the side of trans rights at the moment. So if a child or a teenager says that they're attracted to, if they're a woman and they say they're attracted to women, because you get butch lesbians, they're now encouraged to transition to men. They're being told that
this is the Douglas Murray criticism. They're turning all the gays trans.
They're turning all the gays trans, and a lot of gay people are worried about this, as you can imagine, because it's like they're gay.
They kind of need gays.
And they're being erased. And also, if you're in a relationship, say you're a man, you're in a relationship with another man, and then that man's told that he's a woman, does that mean that you're straight? Because now you're dating a woman. It's a complicated thing. And so, there is a thing with gay erasure. But gay erasure obviously been a great band from the 80s. But But Stonewall run this Diversity Champions program, which is basically a protection racket. The mafia used to go round to shops and say, give us money every week or we'll smash your windows. Now they go round to companies and say, give us money every week or we'll score you low on our they've got like some
we'll
sort of-
We'll call you a transphobe, damn it.
Stonewall's Workplace Equality Index. And obviously, you want to be high up the Workplace Equality Index. You can show, you're hitting all the targets to the government bodies that are providing your funding and all this, because it's all, I mean, there are a lot of private corporations or free market corporations that are signed up to it, but it's a lot of public sector organizations as well. It's mostly public sector, so 900 organizations in the UK
we went through
up to it.
Finances once, and if you go to their finances, just their returns they have every year, if you take away the government money, bankrupt.
Right,
they're in the red.
Right, yeah. So it's basically taxpayers' money being funneled to this organization. That all they do is they tell people how bad and evil and transphobic they are. People pay an annual membership, and Stonewall makes about £3 million in fees every year. And like you say, it's mainly taxpayers' money.
They'd be bankrupt without it.
Yeah, and they've been subject to a lot of criticism in recent years. So a founding member, Matthew Paris, brilliant journalist, he accused it of taking, and he's a gay man, he accused Stonewall of taking an extremist stance. A report by the University of Essex found that a speaker had been unlawfully banned for being transphobic, and Stonewall were implicated in that. They didn't, you know, pull the trigger, but they were implicated in it. You know, as we said, you know, they've been criticised for the erasure.
Takes gay erasure to a new level, pulling the trigger.
And and also they've been accused of giving incorrect advice on equality law. So, you know, Stonewall have to help their members. They provide training as well as, you know, membership to these schemes. You can pay thousands of pounds for training sessions to waste your staff's time with, you know, pointless etiquette lessons.
Yeah, but my understanding is they started giving illegal advice.
Yeah, so yeah, absolutely.
Unlawful. You should do this, except it's not lawful to do it.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So they're misinterpreting the legislature and giving the wrong advice, which is kind of the opposite of what you want. Expensive training to do.
That's what you paid them to do.
Yeah. So Stonewall were saying what they wanted to happen instead of, you know, what the actual legislation said. So the cabinet minister Liz Truss has been reported to be pushing for all government departments to. So this is up on the screen now. We've got the external speakers that were cancelled, but if we move along a couple more. So Liz Truss has urged official withdrawal from the Stonewall Diversity Scheme, the Diversity Champions Programme. And quite a few high-profile organisations have quit it. So the Equality and Human Rights Commission quit recently, and the BBC has finally and totally pulled out of this protection racket. So there's a recent documentary which you watched. I haven't actually watched it yet. I can't wait to watch it. But Stephen Nolan and David Thompson investigate. We move on to the next thing. Stephen Nolan investigated Stonewall, and the next one. So is this...
This is the Stephen Nolan thing we were responding
right,
to.
Right, yes, you've already done a sort of piece on this.
So for people who don't know, Stephen Nolan is a Northern Irish BBC radio host, and he decided to investigate the BBC's links to Stonewall, and the London office just refused to hand over any correspondence they'd had with Stonewall.
Right, yeah.
Like, right, okay. Yeah. It's just like, he works for the BBC, and even he can't get access to what the BBC was saying to Stonewall.
Yeah.
Because the problem is, essentially, Stonewall, the allegation is, they've been determining the news output for the BBC, which is a big no-no. Like, the foundations of the charter of the BBC do not permit this kind of activity. Yeah. Because they're a lobbying group and therefore partisan.
Yeah, and obviously the BBC and their news, they have to be impartial. They have to show both sides of the argument, and particularly when it's an argument like this, where it's not like one side is clearly wrong. Like both sides make quite compelling points.
Like, welcome to the debate. We have murder is wrong and murder is right.
Yeah. It's not that kind of debate. This is like, you know, should we be pumping hormones into children? Should we be erasing gay people on one side? And on the other side, you've got the rights of transgender people to identify and live as who they want without, you know, fear of prejudice or persecution. So, you know, both sides make compelling points, but there's a lot of muddy area in the middle. Where, you know, things break down because, you know, transgender people have the right to identify and live as who they want. But, like, if we have self-identification, I can just say I'm a woman.
You're going to end up with sexual predators in the women's
I wasn't saying I'm a sexual predator, but...
Oh, I wasn't saying that. But it's what happens as a result of self-ID.
Kyle Rittenhouse, for example, could be like, you know, I'm a woman, go to a women's jail. And he's, you know... There's obvious problems. There's obvious flaws in the self-identification thing. And there's obvious flaws in the issues around, you know, medicating children with puberty blockers and hormones that can have real permanent issues. And quite often, I mean, I read an account of somebody who detransitioned that was in The Economist this week. And it completely left her with so much pain because her uterus like atrophied. And she said that the real issue was, you know, she was put on antidepressants and it cleared all her sort of gender dysphoria. And, you know, what she needed was mental health treatment rather than physical body treatment. So, she transitioned to being male and then back to being female again. And I think, you know, we're going to see, you know, in 10, 15, 20 years time, we're going to see a huge number of people who've, you know, been sort of funneled into transitioning, you know, when they're vulnerable, you know, young people and teenagers.
Tomboys.
And then, you know, they're going to, we're storing up, you know, mental health problems and also physical problems for the future. There's going to be, you know, this could be a crisis in the making. So yeah, so basically the BBC News obviously has to be impartial. So the Pink News, so this is the guy, he's the editor of Pink News, is it?
He's the CEO.
CEO of Pink News, which is a gay publication.
So I found this funny. It's just his response to the situation. And so he decided, he did an interview with Noland, and Noland kind of destroyed him because the Pink News CEO started to break down when they talked about pronouns.
Yeah, because he asked, Stephen Nolan, who's quite a down-to-earth guy, he asked him, can you explain genderqueer to me and something else? And Benjamin Cohen couldn't do it.
No.
He couldn't, because even for the people who invent this bollocks, it's nonsense. It's complete bollocks. You know, there's another kind of gender that Stephen asked him to explain. And, you know, all this stuff like abimigender, affectogender, it's just, it's narcissistic, overthought nonsense.
Like, tell me what pan-foxy gender is.
Yes,
shut up. But he got really butthurt and sent an FOI request to the BBC to ask how much Nolan's show costs.
Butthurt is an interesting word to use for it.
I didn't think about that. But also, as if it matters, and they were just like, no, we don't have to give you that information. But if this is some kind of gotcha, it's like, you know, the BBC is given money to produce shows, such as the radio show that Stephen Nolan hosts.
Yeah.
Not to ask people what pan-foxy gender is.
Like, they're not, the BBC is there to make television shows, not to fund Stonewall.
Yeah.
So nobody's going to be writing in being like, why aren't you spending my money on Stonewall?
Why have you made more new Earth planet or whatever?
So the BBC's released a statement basically saying what we just said. It's about the impartiality. The government recommended that, you know, public sector organisations step back from it. Next slide, please. So this is somebody.
So I threw this in. So at the LGB Alliance conference, I don't know if you saw, they all started eating Tunnock's caramel biscuits. And
why?
Because if we go to the next one, they decided to sponsor the event or something.
Oh, really?
And they just like handed them a bunch of those tea cakes.
Right.
So people are now just celebrating LGB turfism
And it's interesting, I've seen some of the opprobrium directed towards the LGB Alliance, which is seen as some sort of now, you know, deeply transphobic.
Basically neo-Nazis.
Even though, like, you know, 10 years ago, they would have been the woke.
They're Stonewall. They are the original Stonewall. And they've all left because it's bloody weird, and they made their own thing.
It's like the schisms in the church in medieval times.
Yeah.
And Julie Bindle, she's been piling in.
One of the people who was kicked out from the woke, let's say.
Yeah. So is she?
So this was an article she wrote on Unheard in which she was just talking about the fact that she had some interactions with the Stonewall people before, and then when they changed, it got terrible.
Right.
So it's not that important. So.
Yeah. Yeah. But there's a comedian, what's her name? I can't remember, but a transgender comedian who attended the LGB Alliance to, you know, try and create some sort of footage that could be filmed on a mobile phone of her being abused or whatever. And
everyone was just nice.
Yeah, everyone was just nice. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't know if you saw the new Borat movie. I mean, I say new, it's a few years old now, but when they were, you know, they did these set pieces to try and like catch out the Republicans and show how intolerant they are. So they had Borat's daughter having her period on stage or something. And instead it just showed how sort of caring and kind the Republicans were, because they dealt with these horrible people who are obviously doing something outrageous to try and shock them. They dealt them really kindly and fairly.
Yeah, please leave.
And nicely. Well, no, they were looking after them and, you know, making sure they were okay.
Yeah.
It kind of backfired. I thought it was a terrible film, but that's getting away from this. NHS trusts pay a lot of money. I can't think the NHS has got anything better to spend money on. I mean, I'm always hearing that the NHS has got too much money and the waiting lists are too short. If you want an operation, bam, there you go. You know, but
it's unbearable.
Ironically, this is probably making the waiting list longer for people to have, transgender surgery.
Well, this had nothing to do with the surgery, though. I don't know if you...
Yeah, this is nothing. This is purely...
So this was £220,000 for the badges scheme.
Yeah, some sort of badges. So this is like NHS staff getting a badge.
Award the different hospitals with like a grade. You would get gold, silver, or bronze.
Depending on how they treat transgender.
Depending on how woke you are.
Right,
And none of them even got gold.
Really?
It's funny. Yeah, it's just like, yeah, no one of you are good enough.
Man, if I was paying 220 grand to be graded, I'd want the top grade. Yeah. I'd be like, I paid 220 grand. I'm gold. Gold, baby.
It's almost like kind of like a humiliation fetish at that point. Yeah. You're handing over 200 grand and getting nothing in return.
So yeah, so it's ridiculous. I mean, like people have criticized. The single sex wards. Obviously they say we can't have single sex wards because then are you putting people in the wards based on their biological sex, which is biological sex is bad. You know, you can't have biological sex. It's all got to be gender, which is a construct, but it's very real and it's much more real than biological sex, which is bad. It all makes perfect sense. Sajid Javid, the health secretary, personally intervened and vowed to review current policies after an investigation by The Telegraph found that trust guidance included placing sex offenders who self-identified as women on female-only wards. So this is what we're talking about.
That's why I was referencing.
Yeah, yeah. When, like, you know, sex offenders can say, I'm a woman, and go and get access to women's safe spaces where, you know, you've got vulnerable women in hospital beds or vulnerable women in prisons. Not that I'm a, you know, particular feminist or anything, but even I think, you know,
I don't think it's very feminist. I don't think you have to be a feminist to be like, yeah, I don't think women should be in the same room as sex offenders.
Yeah,
if you can help it.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I don't care how woke it is to
be anti-rapist.
Yeah. Like, you know, and I don't think if a rapist puts a dress on, I don't think that makes it okay.
No,
I think it's still quite bad.
You got the trans activists who are like, that's a woman and we respect her pronouns, and then you got everyone else who's like, that's a rapist.
Yeah, and we're seeing this, like, you know, for some reason the woke left bends over backwards to celebrate and excuse and rationalize away any misdeeds that are done by transgender people. And when I say transgender people, I don't mean like genuine trans. I know quite a few transgender people, and by and large, they just want to live their life, and they pass, and, you know, a lot of cases they pass and you wouldn't even know that they're trans. And they don't like all this attention that's been brought in the whole trans rights issue. They just want to live their life and be accepted for who they are. So when you've got, you know, Stonewall sticking up for, you know, basically lumpy blokes who, you know, chuck a bit of lipstick on and then say they're a woman, that's, no, you're not.
Just served 5 years in Broadmoor.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's not actually helping transgender people at all.
I mean, it's the same thing with gays and whatnot. I mean, the Stonewall situation, I the amount of gay people we end up running into are just like, yeah, I watched the show, and by the way, F Stonewall.
Yeah.
It's surprising. I don't know why it's surprising, but it's just like, yes, weirdly enough, the vast majority of people are not insane leftists.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's got nothing to do with them trying to say, I speak for all gay people. No, you don't.
Yeah.
You speak for this very slight segment.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Other government departments are considering breaking off their Stonewall membership. So government departments spent over $300,000 on Stonewall membership.
Might actually defund the left for once.
Yeah.
Finally.
Yeah. So the department's considering leaving Stonewall or breaking ties with Stonewall include the Treasury, the Department for Education, Department for Work and Pensions, and the Department for International Trade has actually declined to renew its subscriptions.
Departments that desperately need to talk about pronouns. International trade.
Yeah. Well, if you're gonna be importing like tin ore from Borneo, you're going to need to announce your pronoun. Oh, the pronoun thing is so ridiculous. I get emails from people and they're like, my pronouns are he and him, you know, at the bottom. And it's like, you're called Steve.
Yeah, and you're blocked.
You got a picture. There's a picture of you. You got a beard. You literally look, if I asked a child to draw a man, they'd look like you, Steve. Why are you telling, I mean, to me, that's a huge insult to transgender people because it's sort of implying that transgender people don't look anything like what they identify as, which is, you know, hugely insulting. So
it's why you should be insulted if you're a woman and someone says, what's your pronouns? Like,
yeah, exactly.
Look like a bloke.
Yeah, yeah. If somebody comes up to you and you're transgender and says, oh, what pronouns do you wear? That's drawing attention to the fact that, you know, you might not pass as those pronouns. I think in most cases we can. And also, you only need to use pronouns in the third person when you're talking about somebody when they're not there. Because I wouldn't call you he. Like, you know, I'd call you by your name. So it's ridiculous. You're only ever going to use the pronouns like when the person's not there. So you're going to use them for talking about them behind their back. Why does it matter what pronouns are used if I'm slagging you off behind your back?
We use the royal pronouns.
Yeah. Right. Like, does it matter if I say Z seems like a bit of a pretentious cunt, or they seems like a bit of a pretentious cunt? I mean, I'm calling you a pretentious... Am I allowed to swear on this, by the way?
Usually not.
Oh, right,
but,
okay.
You know,
I have.
It's going to happen now.
It's happened, yeah. Sorry, apologies for anybody who's watching on the BBC. And the next tab, so we've already looked at the Liz Truss thing. Stonewall have responded! They say, ultimately, it is LGBTQ plus people who suffer, although presumably not the LGBTQ plus people who decided, who made the decision to leave and have formed opposing groups such as the LGB Alliance. So yeah.
They're not proper gays.
So Stonewall say that almost one in five LGBTQ plus staff... I think Stonewall aren't being very woke here, though, because they're saying LGBTQ plus instead of LGBTQ... IAA 2 plus, which is the proper one. One in five LGBTQ plus staff have been the target of negative comments or conduct from work colleagues because they're LGBTQ plus, which is bad. But I mean, one in five. I mean, I thought it'd be higher. If you know, we're always being
I've
told.
Been doing my best.
No, we're always being told what a horrible, racist, homophobic, transphobic society it is, and you know that means 80% of LGBTQ plus
never heard
people
one.
Never get any. Which, you know, I mean, that's surely got to be some sort of progress.
Well, it's also because it's illegal and not socially acceptable.
Yeah,
so it's like, well, moot point then.
Yeah, and stuff like this, you know, like the social acceptance is the key thing. So it's great. More than a third of LGBTQ plus staff have hidden or disguised that they're LGBTQ plus at work because they're afraid of discrimination, or possibly being afraid of being asked to organise parties. One in five LGBTQ plus people who are looking for work said they were discriminated against because their sexual orientation and or gender identity while trying to get a job. I'm not exactly sure how they'd know that, though. It's illegal and it's socially unacceptable.
You'd have to take someone to court, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
And we have some court cases of that happening.
Yeah.
Except not for trans people.
Is it for straight white men?
Yeah. Forget the last one on this. I don't know if we should end on this or not, but anyway, it's just the police force discriminating against a white heterosexual male in a case in the police.
Yeah.
Which is socially acceptable.
Yeah.
It's illegal. Yeah. But this takes place all the time, and we've talked about it endlessly on the podcast about internships that you can't apply for example.
And it's quite often obvious but not provable, if you know what I mean. Mm. Do you want to do your Israeli ambassador?
Let's move on to talking about Dajus, because that's going to be the conversation, isn't it? It's just going to be fun. Yeah, anyway. So an Israeli ambassador has had to flee a British university because presumably they're under attack, or the security detail decided that it was not safe. So here's the story. This kind of blew up over the last couple of days. So this one here, you can see Politics for All saying Israeli ambassador, no idea how you say this, Tippetz Hotov. We're just going to say the Israeli ambassador because God knows how to say that.
So Zippy Hotoveli.
Yeah, so Mrs. Hotoveli there, fleeing the London School of Economics after giving a speech.
Managed to keep her bunches of flowers intact.
Kept the bouquet.
Which was impressive.
Yeah, and then you have the person responding here saying British anti-Semites playing Chase the Jew on the anniversary of Kristallnacht.
Yeah.
Which, not good optics, you would have thought, but this is the left, so we don't care. So if we carry on, we can definitively say, I should say, that these are leftists because, well, they have Twitter accounts and they'll tell you who they are. So you have this one here, the young eco-socialist, and then Lorenzo pointing out here that the socialists think it's beautiful that the Israeli ambassador is being harassed off the building. So if we scroll down on this one, we can see their tweet in which they say, absolutely beautiful, solidarity to our comrades in London and the oppressed people of Palestine, with some emoji with hearts fries, and it's enough to make a grown man cry seeing them being chased out.
And you'll hear a lot of people say, oh, it's not anti-Semitic because we're just criticising Israel and criticising her for being the Israeli ambassador. But the Middle East is full of despotic, nefarious regimes that have far worse human rights abuses than Israel. And so what is it specifically about Israel, which, by the way, is a beacon, a bastion of equality and equal rights for women, for gays, for people of different ethnicities in the Middle East. Most countries have terrible laws and terrible treatment of anybody who's gay, female, or different ethnicity. What is it specific about Israel that makes it different, that make people think they've got to treat it differently? What could it possibly be? Is it the fact that it's the Jewish homeland? Is that what it is? So that's why it's anti-Semitic. Like, if these people were you know, going and like challenging the Yemeni ambassador, the Saudi ambassador, then, you know, fair enough.
But there's the old fact of the situation killed. That I don't know if you know the group Gays for Palestine, headquarters in Israel. Yeah. Anyway, are you?
Oh, come on, Hezbollah, give them. Come on, Hamas, give them some office space. Probably not near the top of the building.
You made the fair point, which is Donald Trump's phrase "S-hole countries" comes to mind when describing all the Middle East, which is why I've never really cared about this debate at all between the two countries, because it's just like, who gives a about who the Semites are fighting each other over? Like, could not care. Anyway, but this is the rule.
It cares. I don't know. It matters to me. And also, I've got a lot of Jewish friends who now feel unsafe in London for the first time since Jeremy Corbyn.
But you make the valid point. You know, there's the furor for Israel, but there's not for any other kind of despotism that's Arab.
Absolutely,
like, because everyone just accepts that as normal.
Yeah,
Because
which is racist.
Well, it is the norm for Arab countries. That's just de facto the truth. Which is, well, their problem, not mine, because I don't live there and I don't care.
Yeah, so, but I don't.
I just don't care. It's just like, foreigners, your problem. We don't have the British Empire anymore. If we did, you know, tally-ho, we need to civilize the rest of the world. But, you know,
I think we've seen there's sometimes some blowback from strife in the Middle East. It sometimes comes back and bites us.
Well, I try and stay out. That's usually why I try and stay out. But let's not get into a debate about Middle Eastern policy, because it's not really something I'm massively...
I reckon we can fix it right here and now.
Yeah, this will be the debate. Anyway, so let's move on to some of the other responses around the Israeli ambassador. So we have this one here. So this is a guy on the ground who's sympathetic to the protesters, who said that he was there and he was speaking to some of today's activists outside London School of Economics. Some things are clear. Most students were angry at the University Debate Society for platforming racists. Because they condemn the Israeli ambassador because she's not Jewish, but because she's an anti-Arab racist. And let's play the clip of this.
Someone like this person doesn't really deserve the right to start. She's made comments dehumanizing an entire people. If she can dehumanize people and invalidate their right to speak, why should she have any sort of right? We've seen her appointment as ambassador is evidence enough both of the attitude of the current government in Israel and the current attitude of our own government.
So the audio there was a bit crap, but he's saying that she doesn't have a right to speak because she dehumanizes other people.
Can we go back to the start of that clip and just quickly see the fit, lassie?
No. Control yourself. Anyway, so that's the argument that, well, she's done bad things, therefore has no right to speak. Not an argument.
And we should probably point out that she spoke and took questions for 90 minutes, and there was no problem inside the building. This was all outside the building.
Yeah, this is the different cultures, as you can see, between, that's to be honest, the left and the right, regardless of this issue, is that the left were the ones always protesting on campus. Mm. When was the last time there was a huge movement of right-wing students shutting down a left-wing tell me. You know, it doesn't happen. It's not like a thing.
Munich in 1937 or something.
Left wing is, in my opinion. Anyway, so let's carry on from this. So we go to the next one. We have Labour, who responded to this by desperately trying to be like, you know, don't want to get that reputation back. So you can see here the shadow Home Secretary saying, shocking scenes last night involving Israel's ambassador. Anti-Semitism has no place in our society. It's like, yep, I can imagine you guys are desperate to try and be like, not our guys, except they're all socialists, so they are. So if we carry on, we have Lisa Nandy, who responded to this as well, saying this is appalling treatment of the Israeli ambassador. It's completely unacceptable. You know, blah, 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 blah. Stock rhetoric of, you know, the harassing someone bad, which, okay, yeah. And what was the response from the left to her? Because she's a Labour MP.
Did they tweet a load of misogynist abuse at her?
Nah, she's a fascist.
She's a fascist.
Lisa Nandy, the fascist. So if we go to the Jewish Chronicle, we can see the response here. Lisa Nandy branded a fascist apologist for defending Israel.
I can't help but feel that this the bar you've got to get over or under to become a fascist is like
pretty easy.
It's come down quite a lot since.
Do you drink water?
30s, yeah.
Fascist.
Water is
Hitler drank water too.
Yeah. Anyways. Do you think free speech is good? You're a fascist!
So there's a funny... The bunch of responses in here, which is just a bunch of like leftists on Twitter who are just like, yeah, she's a fascist. Mm. Funniest one being Aaron Bastani at the very bottom here. So at the bottom he says... her name has castigated mixing race marriages, yet protest against her, according to Labour front bench, is apparently anti-Semitic. Utterly disgusting. These people don't give a rat's ass about minorities unless it figures in some political calculus that benefits them. It's like, Aaron, you're a communist. You literally, all you care about is minorities is for getting political power. Mm. But also the complaint being that she's against race mixing. Apparently this is some speech she gave where she didn't want the number of Jews in the world to fall, and therefore didn't want Jews dating outside of Jews. And it's right. Like, I'm sorry, the Middle East is full of this. Like, yeah. I don't know why this is some kind of weird criticism, or it's like, especially for her to say this is outrageous.
Yeah.
But also, Muslims, never able to marry outside of the religion. Cannot marry a non-Muslim under Islam. It's like, you don't give a toss about that.
Yeah.
I mean, demonstrating your point, you do not give a rat's ass about minorities unless it figures in some political calculus. You being exactly doing that right now, in which you're trying to give a rat's ass about, let's say, Arabs, because it pays in some political calculus for you, but... the reverse of any non-Muslim living in a Muslim land.
Yeah.
Not so interested.
I nearly married a Muslim lassie. She's really fit.
Well, I mean, you wouldn't have been able to if the law was applied.
Oh, yeah, but she didn't care. She was like, you know, she was born Muslim but isn't Muslim
she's
anymore.
She's getting tag-feared from the Muslim race, so.
What does that mean?
You know, you're getting tag-feared, you get kicked out of the religion.
Oh, right. No, she like, yeah, she wasn't in it anyways. So
yeah,
she
so this she's is some of the other responses which were of interest. So this one here, you can see London School of Economics, class war. So again, the socialists. they responded by posting on, I don't know if this is Instagram.
London
or.
School of Economics class war. That's like the Bullingdon class war. If you're the London School of Economics, you're such a scion of privilege.
So they decided to respond with, if you can scroll down on this so we can see the full text, they said, whoever smashes the ambassador's car window,
whoa,
Lincoln Inns Field, gets pints, let's F-wording frighten her.
So, oh, that's not misogynist at all, is it? That's not, man,
well,
that is...
it is a crime as well.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You can see a response from the guy here who's like, well, whoever this is should be put in jail. And, well, yes, I mean, this is going to mention doing the book club on Liberty for people who want to keep up with that. Almost done. But it's liberalism 101. Mm. I mean, the quote in there, I mean, might as well quote because why not? So Mill gives the example of corn dealers and says, the opinion that corn dealers are starvers of the poor or that private property is robbery ought to be unmolested when simply circulated through the press, but may justly incur punishment when delivered orally by an excited mob assembled before the house of the corn dealers. And that's exactly what they were doing. There was an excited mob outside of the ambassador and they were like, yeah, smash our windows. So yeah, there is a crime. And I believe the police are actually investigating.
Oh, really?
So, right. Yeah, they may end up getting what they deserve,
yeah,
which is the application of the law. We also saw Liz Truss, so this is the Conservative response, which was just to hang out with the ambassador because, well, I mean, that's international politics for you. It's how this works. Presumably trying to get another trade deal because that's all Liz Truss does with her time these days, which I'm not complaining. It's good fun. It's good for the country. So, yeah, do your work. So if we go to the next one here, we also have a response, which is some guy, I think he was in charge of the Jewish Chronicle, so the guys who were doing the articles on this.
Right, yeah.
They called up LBC to talk about this. And ended up turning into a more interesting debate, which is whether or not Nazis are left-wing, to be honest. So let's play this clip and see what he had to say.
That over the last decade, there's been a steady stream of anti-Semitism coming in from the left since the Soviet Union began its anti-Semitic propaganda during the Cold War. It sort of filtered in through the left and the hard left in particular. And has now gripped, sadly, many of our universities, leading to scenes like we saw on Tuesday evening at LSE.
You say the left, and Jake, you're probably right, but if I take you back, of course, to the start of your article and the events in 1938, that was anything but the left, Jake.
Well, I mean, you know, whether it's left, whether Nazis themselves were left or right is a question, it's another question.
I mean, yes. Mm. And this is why, the reason I mentioned this, because it kind of blew up a little bit more, this story, with people being outraged that he dared say that the Nazis were left-wing.
Yeah.
And we have this guy here, so John Merrick, who's some leftist, said, this is utterly abhorrent. The deputy editor of the Jewish Chronicle here saying, without being challenged, that it is debatable whether the Nazis were right or left in order to tarnish the left with the same brush of anti-Semitism.
Mm.
It's like, we've already got it, so we don't really need to do that.
I mean...
but it's also the point of, are the Nazis left or right-wing? They're left-wing. By their own admission.
I mean, they're the right and the left at the extremes are pretty much the same because it's centralized power, very authoritarian.
Depends how you define right or left wing, ultimately, doesn't it? If you're going to end up with that.
I mean, the meaning of right wing has really changed over the times. I mean, it used to mean like what the left thinks it means. Now, when people are right-wing, it means they're basically libertarian.
Pro-liberty, they want limited government.
Yeah, limited government, lower taxes, you know, which isn't what Hitler wanted.
No, it's not.
Hitler wanted, I mean, like, right-wing people now don't want to build concentration camps because that's state spending.
That's the problem. There's Thatcher, I'm sure, would have said. Anyway, let's carry on. So let's go to the next one here, which is just me trying to make the point that, yeah, they are left-wing. So this is the beefsteak Nazi thing I've mentioned a million times. I thought I'd feature it, because why not? So if you can click on this link, it's just the entry in Wikipedia about beefsteak Nazis. Do you know about beefsteak Nazis?
No.
So it's a phrase. So if you can click on the image here, John. So they mention in the Nazi era that they had a problem with the fact that large numbers of communists and social democrats kept joining the stormtroopers. Like, they kept joining the SA.
Right.
So they ended up calling them beefsteak Nazis as a joke, being right. like, yeah, I don't think there are any Nazis left in my unit. It's all a bunch of communists in the brown
right,
shirts because
right.
there were just so many joining.
Right.
So they're red on the inside, brown on the outside.
Right.
You know, beefsteak.
Yeah.
So this is just such a common thing, the idea that there's basically such easy able to go to one side or the other. And the reason being that the ideologies are so similar to the point that, quite frankly, you can make the argument for either very easy to a conscript of either yeah. one. I mean, the fact I'm trying to get here, that racial socialism, as the Nazis advocated, is still a form of socialism.
Yeah.
You're just not doing it on class lines anymore. You're doing it along the lines of the race. If we carry on from this, there's some other stuff that I thought was funny. So this is a debate that was going on that blew up in regards, and it mentions my favorite MP, Kemi Badenoch, who unironically is my favorite. And there's a debate here in which they're trying to argue that the Nazis are not left-wing because they persecuted socialists. You ever heard of Joseph Stalin?
Yeah.
Yeah. Dumb. Anyway.
I mean, if you look at any people who get persecuted, they get persecuted, like, far more Muslims are persecuted by
other
ISIS
Muslims.
or you know, Islamic fundamentalists than
Christians being killed by Christians.
Yeah, 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 absolutely.
So let's play this clip in which this debate took place, and Kemi responded.
The first thing that National Socialism did was to imprison the trade unionists, the social democrats, let alone the communists. The only reason they took the word socialism was because of the appeal it had to a very strong German working class. The whole emphasis of fascism was anti-socialist, and it's obvious from who didn't go to jail and who did. Who didn't go to jail were the capitalists. That's not who violence was used
I think the Jewish people might disagree.
I want to make this point.
I think that's a very heavy rewriting
what I was
of history.
Referring to
I love Yaron Brook and Kemi's response to those. So what the hell's wrong with you? Because the thing is, as well, it's such a basic B understanding of history. And this is Tick's video, T-I-K, who did a video called Hitler's Socialism, in which he goes on for like 4 hours just to explain every argument about why he's a socialist.
Right.
And if you look through Nazi ideology, like through their lens, how did they view the Jews? Why is Kemi saying that the Jews would disagree with you on that?
Yeah.
It's because they viewed individuality and capitalism as a Jewish plot. So.
Right.
The people they put in the concentration camps, under their view, were all the capitalists as well.
So that sounds like quite a left-wing thing, quite a socialist thing to do.
Yes.
That's kind of the rhetoric I see coming from a lot of the left, a lot of the Corbynistas.
Which is literally what Stalin did as well
in
the later years, and then didn't get to carry out his genocide because, well, he had a heart attack and all the Jewish doctors were already gone.
Yeah.
So no one treated him.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's just such, like, I can't get over how people are like, they persecuted socialists, therefore not real socialists. So you are literally a child.
Mm.
Like, so pathetic that kind of person is apparently good enough to give a speech on the subject.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry, just pet peeve of mine. But go and check out Tig's video if you haven't. I talk about it endlessly, I know, but it's good. So let's carry on. So this is, speaking of Nazis and universities, I thought we'd go through this last bit, which it's just funny, which is a situation at Cambridge University.
Yeah.
They banned a speaker for giving a Hitler impression.
Yeah.
I didn't like it. An art historian has been banned from speaking at Cambridge University debating society for offending students with his Hitler impression. That's the word. They literally offended them with the Hitler impression.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So if we go to the next one here, we have the transcript. I thought we'd go through this, and I wanted to get your response as a comedian about whether or not...
Because this is a ramifications for comedians.
Yes. So the transcript is him saying, "So let me tell you my great example of bad taste and to explain why good taste exists and why it matters, really matters. Adolf Hitler." Audience laughter. It's actually not funny, but I'll allow you to think it's funny briefly. Anyway, so he says, "Adolf Hitler, Mein Kampf, what's it all about? It's about taste. The whole book is about taste. Cultural struggle through taste." And then he begins his caricature of Hitler, it says. So I don't know, a little mustache or something and, you know, put the hair over. He says in his little Hitler voice, "My struggle, Adolf Hitler's struggle, I was a watercolour painter. I was rejected. My German art, my purity, it was rejected. The romantic tradition of German art was rejected by this modern art, this horrible modern art that was promoted by the Jews, which is cubist, inspired by the art of the Negro tribe art. Yuck, how horrible is that? We must expunge this from our Deutschland. We are pure Aryan people. Our genetics are pure. Our art must be pure." Back to a normal voice.
This clip is definitely going to get clipped out and taken out of context. God.
Anyway, so that was his version, in which he's clearly making fun of Hitler as being a disgusting being. And he goes back to the normal voice. So what did Hitler do in 1936? He did the most popular exhibition of modern art that was ever staged in Austria and Germany, and saw 3 million people turn up. It was Endkind Kunst, degenerate art.
That's right, yeah.
Hitler and Goring and his other friends removed from every German museum every single work of art that was cubist, abstract, or surrealist. Hitler hated surrealism and the art of dreams and nightmares designed, he thought, to make Germans go mad.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you read the transcript, it's so blatantly obvious. He's literally arguing, yeah, so there's this bad taste thing, like Hitler, who's a friggin' freak, and he has these tastes of modern art.
And Hitler, a notoriously sort of sentimental painter of sort of cloying watercolour scenes and stuff like that.
Like, I think his art was considered a bit crap because it was so basic. Drawn a thing.
Real shortbread tin stuff. Yeah. Although, I mean, to be honest, if he'd been encouraged, if he'd just been indulged a little bit, then maybe we could have avoided a lot of unpleasantness.
Yeah, but I got the transcript specifically so we could see the reality of the situation. So, I mean, how bad was the Hitler impression? It's, they're not laughing by the end of it, apparently. Oh, so it's a bit weird. But I feel like he bombed.
His whole point was to be in, terrible taste.
Yeah.
Because he's making a point about bad taste.
Yes.
And about this Intentart Kunst. Because Hitler, and the Nazis are terrible taste in art. In fact, somebody used that phrase to describe my stuff. And the woke people hate my stuff because it's Intentart Kunst. And I was like, what are you talking about?
Right.
And they explained it to me. So it's interesting. It's come up again.
You've been tarred with the same brush.
Yeah, the watercolour brush.
I just love how it's you're meant to be like, oh man, the students are so confused by that, though, that they're offended and they blacklisted him from the university. That's the story.
Well, you should see the picture of the guy who's in charge of the blacklist. Man, the guy's like 12 years old. This guy shouldn't be like, he's totally proper.
I didn't get to see
a
picture of him.
Oh man, it's hilarious.
But I mean, how much of an idiot do you have to be to read that or to listen to that and be like, this guy's endorsing Hitler?
Yeah. This is the thing. Like, there's no room for context or nuance or irony or whatever point he's trying to make. You know, people just take everything at the literal face value, and clip it out. And,
I feel like the dude doesn't have to end all of that with, and that Hitler guy. Bad guy, the worse I think of him. It's like, no, he's literally using him as the example of bad.
That's the
point of the bloody thing.
Absolutely, absolutely. But this is the ramifications it's had.
So they blacklisted the dude, and then in response, they've actually invited John Cleese, as I assume you're going to say.
I don't think it was in response. He was already invited to speak there. So John Cleese is an alumnus of Cambridge, so he's going to speak at Cambridge Union, which I can't believe they've got somebody who is in charge of a blacklist at Cambridge Union. What sort of, they should have a bit of self-awareness and realize, you're not going to, like, Fred West isn't going to get invited. You don't need a blacklist, like, especially not for art historians.
Put Hitler on the blacklist.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Don't think it was needed.
So John Cleese was due to appear. But obviously, John Cleese has done some very famous impersonations of Hitler on Monty Python and also very famously on Fawlty Towers.
Don't talk about Zavor.
Yeah. So he goose steps up and down. It's hilarious. It's an iconic moment. One of the top 10 moments in UK comedy history.
If you haven't seen it, you really should.
Yeah. It's amazing. It's bound to be on YouTube. So he blacklisted himself. He cancelled himself from speaking at Cambridge Union, in support or in recognition of this guy getting cancelled for doing a similar thing to what John Cleese had done.
An art historian.
an art historian.
I mean, the dude is not going to bring about the Fifth Reich. Actually, Hitler was a painter.
Anyway, but Hitler was an unsuccessful painter. This guy's a successful art historian. So
he's got a life to live.
He doesn't have time to start any National Socialist parties.
No, he's got to be pointing out what bad taste is, which is Nazism. And the students are like, I took offense to that.
Yeah.
Did you?
And so John Cleese. And John Cleese has been criticized. People have said, well, you're cancelling yourself. You haven't been cancelled. You've cancelled yourself. But they don't understand that the vast majority of censorship is self-censorship. So you censor yourself. If you're speaking and you know that somebody's been cancelled for doing a Hitler impersonation or whatever it is, you're stepping on eggshells to make sure you don't breach whatever, you know, arcane and convoluted and illogical etiquette rules, woke etiquette rules, you know, apply. So you really need to be able to speak. And John Cleese has said, you know, if somebody finds an alternative venue,
we go to the last one here, just so this is the what you're about to mention, which is that he's mentioned, if you have a sizable room in Cambridge, anyone listening who's in Cambridge, and you want to invite people on the condition that he doesn't have to walk on eggshells, he'll do it.
Yeah.
He'll come and do it. And I look forward to seeing the video when it comes out.
Yeah.
I assume people are organizing that now. Yeah. But anyway, that's all the news about what's going on with that, with the ambassador and on British universities in regards to, God, I mean, Nazis never really ends in the public conversation, does it?
Yeah.
It's just endlessly debating about who's the Nazi.
Yeah. And the word is thrown around with so willingly that, you know, it's sort of lost a lot of its sting.
A Hitler impression. He's a Nazi now. It's like literally calling it bad taste.
Yeah. If you look through the history of comedy and theatre, I mean, Mel Brooks, you know, so many Hitler impressions, but it's never, like, when people impersonate Hitler, it's never to aggrandize him. It's always to mock him and you know, make him
it's almost like
laughable. And I think it does a lot to stop neo-Nazis. Because it removes the power. It removes the sort of... He can't become a totem because he's a ridiculous figure.
Which is why the Nazis mostly went after comedians who mock them.
Yeah, like, absolutely.
Like, he's one of the major people who would get screwed.
Absolutely. Funnily enough, one of my friends does a character act called Frank Sinatzi. And so he comes out dressed as Hitler and sings, you know... Here I am stuck in the bunker with you and all this sort of stuff. Yeah. I've got you under Berlin.
And again, it doesn't need saying, but it's obvious mockery of the Nazis.
Yeah, it's obvious mockery and it's hilarious.
Anyway, we need to move on.
Kills.
We need to
go
to the video comments.
Move on, yeah.
So to be clear, and I can't believe that I actually need to say this, black and brown people who weren't just mentally enslaved, this wasn't some kind of mind game, they were in real chains.
In 1803, John R. Jewett, an armorer of Boston, Lincolnshire, was captured and taken slave by McKinna, chief of the Nook people on what is now the coast of British Columbia. This sensitive telling of his 2 years in captivity until his escape shows Don Lemon is an idiot.
All right. I like the idea of a 30-second book club as well. That was neat. Right. The next one.
So, from Friday, tomorrow... Denmark is reintroducing the Corona passport. Sucks to be me.
Yeah, eat your hat.
So does she need? Because I noticed, different European countries. I was in Austria a couple of weeks back, and they were so tight. They were so tight on, like, even sitting outside a cafe. You're not even inside. The guy's like, you know, papers, please, or coronavirus passport, please.
Deine Papier, Juden. But the reference she's having there is that she's been boasting endlessly because Denmark's response was just, how about freedom?
And they did that. And now they brought it through. But some countries are seeing a big spike in cases. Like Germany's had 50,000, like a record high spike in cases. I guess during the winter when everybody's inside, it's going to get worse.
It's almost like that was the point in the vaccine, so then we could overwhelm the health system so we could live free. But no, the living free part of that's been trash.
And also the treatments. I mean, the coronavirus isn't the sort of disease it used to be because the treatments are so good now that it's much more survival.
I don't think we can talk about that, though.
Oh, we can't talk about it. Sorry.
So I'll have to go to the next one.
Yeah.
So when the next wave of rioting happens and Chaz 2.0 comes up, I will definitely get good footage and send it to the Lotus Eaters first. On a not as relevant but kind of related note, I have a friend from college who actually lives in Portland, And he was there on scene when the courthouse was being attacked 2 summers ago. He has some footage saved from that that I can send to you guys if you're interested in that. Before you ask, no, my friend is not a leftist. He voted for Trump. He's just kind of dumb and wanders into dumb situations. But he got good footage, so.
Kind of like Andy Ngo, just wandering into dumb situations. It's good fun, though. Yeah, sure. I mean, probably the best thing to do, to be honest, is to make like a short compilation and put it on YouTube or something so it's just freely available and be like, yeah, public domain. I don't give a toss who uses it. Yeah. That's the best way I find to share footage. But other than that, he also makes the... You were asking what they were. I saw his video once. They're like shelves you can put on the wall or something.
Right.
I didn't really understand it, though, because you have to have like sprongs, but whatever.
It looks like a drawer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's get the next one.
Hello, Lotus Eaters. It's your fellow dadist in Oklahoma again. I happen to be a dadman by trade. That's short for systems administrator. And I'd love to share some info on how laymans can up their privacy and decouple themselves from big tech without studying 10 years or turning their lives upside down. It isn't as daunting as you might think, but it does take some adjustment, so don't wait till the last second. Since you mentioned it, let's start with search engines. You know why DuckDuckGo looks so much like Bing? While DDG doesn't track and share your search history, it doesn't do its own indexing either. It borrows Bing's. So instead of Google, your search results will be created by your favorite American farmer, Bill Gates.
Huh. I never knew that. Yeah. Okay.
But DuckDuckGo doesn't keep any of your personal data.
That's the idea, yeah. Mm. So, I mean, I use Brave browser for my stuff. I don't know if they do keep your personal data or not.
I use Google.
Slave. Let's go to the next one.
Today is Remembrance Day here in Canada. And so I just wanted to take some time away from being angry at the various politicians and the stupid things that they're doing out there right now and think of the sacrifices of our forefathers and how hard they fought to get us our freedoms here in Canada. And know that if we fight hard enough, we will get those freedoms back. And yeah, so today's a day to remember and be grateful for what we have.
Yeah,
that's good. He remembered.
Yeah, but if it wasn't for all those guys, then we'd all be speaking German. So
yeah,
it's kind of weird though, because today is in Poland. It's also the end of the First World War, and therefore it's their Independence Day.
Right.
And we went the year before, and the difference in atmosphere is stark. Because over here it's a somber day. Mm. We're thinking about all the guys who died in the First and Second World War, mainly, and all the ones since, to basically just free the world, frankly. Mm. And in Poland, because it's Independence Day, it's a huge celebration. So it feels very weird, but, you know, it's a far less depressing atmosphere. I'll give them that.
Mm.
You should go. There's the march they do. I don't know if you've seen it. All the flares and the
right,
flags
yeah,
and
yeah.
Stuff. It's really cutesy because it gets, like, portrayed as this far-right fascist gathering because they've all got Polish flags.
Mm.
And we went there, and there were, like, 50 guys in, like, black bloc who just looked like fascists and have, like, fascist flags. But it's 50 guys surrounded by, like, 100,000 people,
yeah,
and they're just, you know, people in their families,
yeah,
you know, their kids and whatnot, and they've all just got Polish flags and, like, you know, we're just normal people.
Yeah, and it's weird how pride and patriotism is so often portrayed as some sort of far right thing, but then in certain situations, like with the SNP, it's seen as some sort of positive thing. And also with Poland, I mean, if you look at Poland's history, I think in the UK, because we're bordered by the sea, so we don't have the same threat to our sovereignty that Poland historically has had. You know, it's been invaded, it's been, you know, it's been shifted. So they really care about their borders. It's not just, I mean, the Polish president was saying the other day about how, you know, the Polish border is sacrosanct, and you know, with people coming across from Belarus.
Yeah, well, you got a border with Belarus, you take it more seriously as well.
Yeah. You know, that's literally the sort of front line with the Russian Federation.
Yeah, you're not just dealing with the... migrants of peace, you're also dealing with spies and all the rest of it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a serious problem.
And migrants that are flown in and then bussed to the border to cause problems.
Yeah. Anyway, let's go to the next one.
At the range a while back, I was lent a booklet on guns, self-defense, and the law. It seemed to suggest that worst case scenario, you go to jail. Best case scenario, you'll be bankrupt after the courts and relatives have finished with you. But at least you are alive. If this is true, Kyle's going to need some serious GoFundMe. Anyways, what did you think of the new Dune film? And who do you think would make a great Fade in the sequel?
Did you see it?
I haven't seen it yet. I want to see it, though. I haven't been in the cinema in ages, and I love seeing, you know, the big, spectacular, you know, epic films. Because I don't think it's going to be... Watching it on my laptop isn't going to be quite the same, you know?
You don't get the same rumble.
Have you seen it?
I haven't seen it. There's a cinema around the corner. We should probably go watch it or something. Mm. But I was kind of just mesmerized by his thing he's creating there.
Which yeah, that looked wicked. Was he going to shoot it? It sort of sounded like he was building it so he could shoot it.
I probably would if I was American. I'd be stuff, put a little bit of dynamite in it or something.
Yeah, his gun looked wicked.
Yeah,
it's good. My dad had a bigger gun.
Oh, fuck. Let's go to the next one. Well, message received. Do your lifting, boys. Do you know David Raboy?
David Raboy.
He's a conservative commentator. I don't know. He's an American. He's very much like built like a brick S house. It's ridiculous. He does a lot of like lifting as well. But I mean, if you got it, shut off, I guess.
Yeah.
Get the next one.
Hey everybody, Tony D and Little Joan here with our favorite Christmas movie. We haven't seen it in a long, long time, but it was called Lethal Weapon. It was made way back in the
80s.
And it stars Mel Gibson and Danny Glover. And Danny Glover is about to retire from his job, and Mel Gibson is his co-worker who's dealing with some mental issues, I remember. And also there's some scenes on a street and a pool. And Gary Busey's in it too, and I think he plays Santa.
Okay.
I'm not sure that that's a Christmas movie.
I mean, Die Hard's a Christmas movie.
So. Die Hard is definitely a Christmas movie because it comes out at Christmas. It's got Christmas songs.
Okay, yeah.
But Lethal Weapon is just a really good movie. But Gary Busey is an absolute legend.
Maybe a lot of Americans just watch it on Christmas or something.
Yeah.
It's just become a thing.
Like The Great Escape here. Yeah.
I can't see Mel Gibson anymore. Like, and not just think of his anti-Semitic rant.
Maybe that's why it's a Christmas film.
He's going to tell us about who killed Jesus again. Yeah. Old Mel's got his whiskey out. Let's get the next one.
Hey, guys. I'd just like to respond to Anthony the Fixer's in. Fan fiction isn't always that bad. Quite often, you can get quite great literary works out of fan fiction. The Sinbad and the Legend of the Seven Seas movie is technically a fan fiction of the story of Damon and Pythias. Aladdin movie is a fan fiction of Arabian Nights. Dante's Inferno is technically biblical fan fiction. It can be really good stuff, so don't write it off, man.
I mean, technically true. I mean, like, Astartes is fan fiction, and it's amazing. So,
yeah, and a lot of stuff, I mean, definitely maybe is fan fiction of the Beatles.
Have you seen Astartes?
No.
I'm gonna have to show you that afterwards. Yeah. Otherwise, I don't do a lot of reading. Well, I hate reading, so I try not to do it, but I got to do it for work, so I don't reread fan fiction is what I'm getting at.
Yeah, I have trouble reading stuff as well. I just like jabbing at my phone. And like short digestible things.
Like a chimp. Just
Yeah. I'll just stop and fling my pieces at someone.
Let's go to the next one.
Masturbate on some tourists.
Stop.
So I've been watching the Kyle Rittenhouse testimony that he's giving. And what a lot of people are describing is him having a panic attack on the stand. And I can assure you that after working over 10 years now in EMS, that is in fact not a panic attack. That is post-traumatic stress disorder rearing its ugly head. And what they've done to this kid is truly despicable.
Yeah. I mean, I mostly agree. I've got like 10% of my head that's a bit suspicious of his crying, but that's just because of it's a court case. And after seeing the Floyd case in which some people tried to pull some BS on then was proved to be BS.
Also, nobody looks natural when they cry.
Yeah.
It always looks, you know, fake. Unless you pay a Hollywood actor to do it, then it looks real. Ironically, they're acting.
Yeah. If it looks kind of gross, then yeah, it's a real person breaking down.
Yeah, everybody just looks weird when they cry.
Yeah, but I don't disbelieve him. I think that his situation is...
Yeah.
It matches up with everything else. That's the thing. Like, it matches up with him being an honorable person, telling the truth, that the video evidence has now shown, and the witness statements, even from those who were shot, ended up indicting them.
Yeah, he's very young. He's been through an incredibly traumatic experience, most of it of his own causing. But also, I mean, he's looking at, you know, the rest of his life, you know, potentially being destroyed by, Yeah.
Well, you know, good news though. I can't remember who said it in the office, but someone said it. The good news is he'll never have to buy a beer at a bar again. Someone will buy it for him. Let's go to the next one.
Unless he goes to the London School of Economics.
What is that? What the f*** is that?
What on earth is this? Oh, this is the...
Yeah, f*** you too!
Nice montage. So this was at COP26. They had this doll because they say that climate change is going to affect women more than men. Presumably because
of course it will.
presumably because women are slightly shorter, so when sea levels rise, right, they have more trouble breathing.
They got more body fat. They'll float.
that's not going to get you any. That's not going to get you laid saying that.
No, they do have more body fat. It's actually,
yeah, they do. Yeah.
It's why women in famine survive and men die.
Yeah.
Is because, well, they just don't have any fat to eat and, well, yeah, yeah. They're dead.
Yeah. And like ever since I started identifying as a woman, I've started putting on some weight. So
well, they've also got too, you know, like the women things that are made of fat. So
the women things made of fat.
Yes. Look, I try not to say anything swearing.
I can just hear vagina snapping shut.
I don't care. I'm not doing that for this. Anyway, so let's go to the comments on the website. So Buck Schwoschler says, black 17-year-old kidnap and torture white retarded man and live stream it while screaming racial obscenities. The left cries for leniency. A white 17-year-old defends himself against white attackers. The left screams that's racist.
Mm.
Yeah, I don't know if you remember that. The Black Lives Matter kidnapping. So
no.
It was these BLM activists back before 2016, I think it was. They kidnapped some retarded white guy who was just like on his way home, and they just tortured him. And then this was like put up as like, oh, these poor kids who have been misled.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Fuck off. Anyway. So Alfred the Beta says, if you accuse Carl Rittenhouse of faking tears from being forced to relive the trauma of having to shoot violent armed child rapists and arsonists, but claim oh, it's a quote from Crowder. Right, well, we said the quote from Crowder, so we'll move on from that.
Well, we see this dissonance with so much stuff in the left, even with the trans stuff. So the, you know, lesbians, cisgender female lesbians were saying they've been pressured into sex by transgender women who are lesbians. Fuck, it's complicated. But yeah, so basically they've been pressured into sex by women who have real women, but who have penises and possibly beards. And you know, the left was all like, oh no, these lesbians are transphobic and stuff. So how can we believe all women sometimes and then not believe any of these women?
I love the idea of calling trans women real women with penises.
Yeah.
And then cis women just cis women.
Yeah.
From now on.
Yeah.
I you know, the people, there's like TERFs who complain about being called cis women because it feels like they're being called Untermensch or something.
Yeah. But no, I mean, also I've got a lot of sympathy for transgender people who keep the penis. Transgender women who keep the penis, because apparently there's like a 1 in 4 chance you'll never orgasm again if you have the surgery. So, you know, a lot of them don't want to have the surgery. I can understand that.
Didn't know that fact.
Yeah.
Anyway, Jimbo G says, maybe the mild white pill, but I've seen a sizable amount of people saying they thought he was guilty but have now changed their minds and are now questioning the media coverage. Yes, question the coverage. Yeah, I mean, it's a wonderful moment for people waking up. The corporate media will just openly lie to you.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if you've seen some of the headlines where they're just quoting the prosecution and nothing of the defense.
Yeah,
do not
yeah.
Care. Same thing happened with the George Floyd trial. I mean, that's why we ended up having to cover it so much.
Mm.
I mean, even I'm not trying to be rude, but the British press coverage, even places like talk radio, I don't know if they didn't have the time, but they just didn't know what was going on with the defense,
right?
And didn't give any of the facts.
I'm yeah. Like,
this is awful.
Like, yeah.
You can't just not do both, though.
Yeah, and this is the trouble with news reporting now, because budgets have been squeezed so much, so they don't actually have the sort of resources to properly follow a trial and have somebody there in the...
With an honest outlet, yeah. But
yeah,
with,
yeah.
You know, BuzzFeed or Fox.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, and there's an agenda behind so much. But, I mean, on the plus side, when I see stuff like this, I feel like it's doing our job for us, because everybody's looking at it, they know that they're being lied to, so they seek out more sort of objective.
They look for truth
they
instead
look for
of
truth.
Literal propaganda.
Yeah.
So on your section on Stonewall, Kevin Fox says, with society now being a very, quote, where there's blame, there's a claim system, all these people effectively forced to transition 10 years from now will be suing the ass out of Stonewall, if Stonewall even survives that long, Tavistock, LGBTQ plus AI people, organizations. Yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to the court cases.
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine that? I mean, the stories alone. Yeah. Just of people being like, yeah, I was bloody lied to.
There's already a lot of story. There's been, it was 60 Minutes in the States did a thing about it. And it's the sort of rapidity. So in the States, we've gone from having one gender clinic to having over 50 gender clinics, gender transition clinics, in a very short period of time. And it's an industry that funnels people through. And there hasn't been the, you know, with the sort of restraints on debate and discussion, they can't. You know, the kind of the debate and question, is this the right thing to do?
I don't know if you read in the articles. One of the weirdest thing about the Stonewall situation, they had a no debate policy. Like for the last 10 years, they have literally had a policy of we will never debate about whether we're wrong.
Yeah, we will tell you. We will tell you we're arbiters of the truth. You know, we're the highest power.
We are literally infallible. That's their position.
Yeah, yeah. It's like the church.
Catholic church over there.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, well, the Catholic church at least has a devil's advocate. Stonewall doesn't even have a devil's advocate.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
They should get some, like, you know, some terrible straight white male like me come in and just sit in the corner and be like, hey, what you're talking is bollocks.
I mean, you probably help the world by doing that, so I'll take the job if you get it. As if Stonewall are ever going to do that. Anyway, so Benjamin Charles says, we need a new term for these fees paid to trans rights groups in exchange for their approval. I propose transgeld or transtortion. I like transgeld. It's like what were they called? The Catholic Church used to do them. Indulgences.
Right.
You had to pay for your soul to be saved.
Well, right, yeah, like absolution. Because, Dominic Frisbee was telling me the richest guy in, like, Germany or something, the richest guy who didn't make his money from doing anything, you know, any sort of trade or, you know, business or anything. It was literally selling absolution.
What's absolution?
So absolution is where you're purged of your sins.
Oh, really? Okay.
So absolved of your sins. Right. So that's exactly what Stonewall are doing.
I love the idea that the richest guy in the UK in like 5 years is going to be like the CEO of Stonewall. How did he make his billions? Just extorting people.
I'm gonna
call you a transphobe. Anyway. So Jimbo G says, in a world full of dog whistles, the pro-Palestine movement is a gold mine of cognitive dissidents. Keep using their own logic against them. They've made these rules. I mean, I don't care about the debate, as I've mentioned before, but it's just what are you doing with your life at that point? Mm. I mean, especially when the debate comes down to, should we hunt Jews? I mean, oh God.
Yeah,
what are you doing?
I mean, and also Palestinians are, the Palestinian people, a lot of them would rather live in Israel. A lot of them choose. A lot of Arabs choose to live in Israel because it's better. And they're victims of Hamas and Hezbollah and the horrible Islamist factions who are sort of controlling them.
I don't get the complaint that Israel's an apartheid state because it's like, well, there are loads of Arabs living in Israel.
Yeah. I mean, there is some, you know, Israel is by no means got an unblemished card on human rights.
So what's the justification for the apartheid state accusation? Because I know at the airport, for example, they use racial profiling.
Right.
And that's because it's effective. And that's a sad reality.
You know what? The Israeli military actually trialed the use of gerbils to detect. So gerbils can react to adrenaline. So they can smell adrenaline. Have you ever, you know...
What, they made suice bomber gerbils?
Like, no, well, they made gerbils that can detect suicide bombers.
Oh!
Yeah.
Oh!
So they had them at the airport, and they had a fan blowing the sweat from people onto the gerbils. I'm not making this up. This is true.
Oh, yeah,
and then the gerbils got skittish. They knew that somebody, you know, had high adrenaline levels.
Yeah.
But then they were getting too many false positives from nervous flyers.
Oh, so okay. They go back to the dogs then, I suppose.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if you know the racial profiling thing. If you go to Israel, apparently you get like a number on the bottom of your ticket, and like the last number is between like 0 and 9. And zero means like you're a little old lady with a family,
right,
traveling. If you're a 9, you're a single male Muslim Arab with a beard and a big old rucksack, and you're going to get the strip search, boy.
Right, yeah, so, yeah. Which is, I mean, that's prejudice. It's prejudice,
yeah,
but, you know.
It's also effective.
It's also effective.
It's the comparison. You can do that versus the TSA, for example, who's like strip searching grandma, and it's like,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah.
That's not that's about.
Oh, I'd love it if, like, you know, like a grandma, they should get, ISIS should recruit.
Where's this going?
Some little old grandma. That'd be amazing. Then anytime you say that, I could be like, what about that grandma? Maybe that grandma brought down that 747.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean,
Everybody thought it was a cookie recipe, and it turned out to be a bomb.
I'm sure ISIS are in the audience listening intently.
I bet ISIS watched this. They love it.
They're looking for plots.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
Picking up in the production values, because one thing in common, Lotus Eaters and ISIS both have very good production values.
Official statement from the Lotus Eaters podcast is disavow ISIS. Also, we're out of time, so I mean, of all the things to end on, you know, I'll do another comment just to try and change the subject, frankly. So, what's this? A highly uneducated says, ha, video games cause crime, shut up, mum. Yeah, that's probably, that's going to be the best moment from the trial for me. So we'll end on that instead. So if you want more from us, go to lotuseaters.com, check out all the premium content, subscribe, that's how we fund the show, and all the rest of it. If they want to see more of you, as the cop thing, where do they find that?
Oh, yes, that's on my YouTube channel. I did a video in Glasgow about COP26, the hypocrisies and the SNP's environmental failings. That's Leo Kerr's YouTube channel.
So go and check that out. Otherwise, we'll be back tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Thank you and goodbye.
Bye.